This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
The idea of something attacking us is a scary one, no matter where you're at. It gets even scarier, though, when that attacker is kind of like a monster in appearance, specifically. But even more scary is when it's happening in one of the safest places that one has, within your home, and then within the home, in your bedroom, in your bed. The place that when we're down, when we're out, when we're feeling kind of, yeah, I just want to go to bed. It's like the safest place I think most of us have. And then the idea of that being violated by something coming at you that you can't explain, that's not human, and wants to just cause pure terror. That really just, it just rides all over that safe place notion. It would make it really hard, I think, to go back to that being a safe place. In our next story, that is precisely what happens. Something wanted to instill fear in a woman late one night. Take a listen. Hello. Very excited to share my story with you. I am from Guyana, in Cape Town, South Africa. And I accidentally stumbled onto your podcast, just I never listened to podcasts and never was even aware this medium existed. But anyway, I found yours, and let me tell you, I am binge listening right now. I went way back to 2015 and am marathoning my way through your episodes. But wait, I digress. I'm here to share a story. So I'll get right to it. This one has freaked me out the most and haunts me to this day, over 20 years later. A bit of background, my first husband, who features in the story, died in 2011, and with his death, I have another theory. But I'll get into that at another time. I have since remarried. M, my first hubby, and I worked long hours. We made a point of spending some quality time in the evenings after the eldest went to bed. We'd sit in the living room either watching a movie or soccer. We were huge soccer fans. We'd cuddle on the couch with snacks or whatever. So this specific night, as usual, we finished the movie or soccer game, not sure which, and went to bed. Now, Am and I were both smokers, but because my eldest had asthma, we never smoked in the house. Am was insistent that he needed to smoke, and because it was winter, he didn't want to go outside. So I told him that he could stand in the bedroom window behind the curtains to keep the smoke out of the room. While he was standing there, I got into bed. So the layout of the room is important. The bed was standing directly opposite the window, and the door on the left of the bed. It was lying on the side the furthest away from the door. The bedroom's light was off, but both bed lamps were on. I was lying on my right side facing the wall with my back to the door, and was standing at the window smoking, while still chatting with me. Now, just a little on M, he wasn't a very talkative person, but when he did, he was a very funny guy. He. Note that I'm speaking of him in the past tense, but that's another story. So he was standing there smoking, telling me some funny story, and I was lying on the bed listening to him, sometimes responding or giggling. Then suddenly I felt I couldn't move. Trapped on my right side, I reminded myself to just stay calm, and the feeling disappeared, and suddenly I was flipped onto my back and I couldn't move. I could literally feel someone or something sitting over me. My legs and arms were pinned at my side, and I could feel warm, stinky breath in my face. This is when I started screaming, but no sound came from my mouth. You know when you scream and you can see the veins in your neck and forehead standing out? I could see M standing at the window, and I could still hear him talking, but he seemed unaware of what was happening behind him. And suddenly, the feeling just disappeared. It was then that M came from the window to get into bed. At this point, I'm hysterical, crying, trying to tell him what just happened, and as expected, he's very concerned, and he got into bed and hugged me and tried to calm me down. So here I was being held by my partner and obviously being very upset. His presence and assurance that it's all over calmed me down. A few minutes later, he was still holding me and comforting me. Then his grip on me tightened and just got tighter. This is when I started pushing him away and telling him that he's hurting me. But he started laughing, and then his laugh changed. It wasn't his voice anymore. I looked up at his face, and I got the fright of my life. It was not him. It was not M lying in bed with me. This thing holding me didn't have a recognizable face. He looked like it had been burned, but not scarred, but with raw flesh. And the flesh was black with tinges of red in between. His eyes were dark with red lights, dots in the center. He didn't have ears. His hair looked like black steel wool caked together, supposed to be the theme from being burned. His teeth were razor sharp, and it seems like there were too many in his mouth. What freaked me out the most were those red dots for eyes. I started screaming and fighting with this thing, trying to get away, but the more I fought, the tighter he held me and the louder he laughed. I ripped out pieces of flesh from his skinless face, and that made him hold tighter, even more like he loved the fight I was putting up. During this time, I looked in the direction of the window, and I could still see M standing behind the curtain smoking. I could even faintly hear him talking, but he was unaware of what was going on. I remember what my Grammy always told me. She said, "Pray, my baby, pray." I said in the language, "Here, help me." The translation all went to, "Lord, help me. I'm going to die here tonight." And just like that, the thing disappeared. I jumped out of bed, bumping into M on his way to bed. He had no clue what was going on. He had to restrain me because I didn't stop fighting, scratching at his face. To me, it was the thing that was back for round two. I finally realized that it was over, and it was M in front of me. The rest of the night at the house, lights, the TV were on. I paced the house like a mad person, refusing to get back into bed, even though I had to be up at 4:30 to get ready for work. M knew of these episodes I experienced in the past, but he's never been present when it happened. To him, it was always an overactive imagination, my strong belief in the supernatural. But afterwards, I proved him wrong. He became a believer himself when he experienced something with me. But that's another story. When getting ready for work the next morning, I noticed my fingernails were dirty. I always keep them clean. It looked like I had been scratching a fireplace. By the way, this is not the last time I saw the thing. This is a side note. I was unsure if I should share the story because I've learned in the past, whenever I share this story, it was like I invite him back and he makes his presence known. I'm aware that he is still around, but always hiding in the shadows, watching me, getting the shivers as I type this. Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.